Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The Old Testament reading for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost is from the 29th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, beginning at verse 11. And the vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. When men give it to one who can read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot, for it is sealed." And when they give the book to one who cannot read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot read." And the Lord said, "Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men, therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder. And the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?' You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay, that the thing made should say of its maker, 'He did not make me,' or the thing formed say of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'? Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest? In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Since we're reading through the letter to the Ephesians in our worship services, today's reading should have a little extra context by starting a few verses that were at the end of last week's reading. So beginning in verse 15 of Ephesians 5, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." And now we continue today's reading in verse 22. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand and sing the Alleluia on page 205. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Pharisees gathered to Jesus with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands according to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I know I've used this before, but marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today. It's one of the greatest quotes from The Princess Bride. And honestly, I read the word marriage and boom, that's what runs through my mind. Marriage is something of a struggle in our culture, something that our culture struggles with in understanding and in executing God's way. But there's hope that the fact is there's nothing new in this struggle with marriage. I mean, since sin first entered the world, the very first marriage couple became corrupt and turned one on another. Eve blaming Adam, and Adam blaming Eve. Their struggle has been passed down through the generations. The Christians at Ephesus apparently were struggling with marriage and its proper relationship and role, and us Christians in Park Rapids, we continue to struggle with it today. The fact is, our sin makes us selfish. That becomes our default mode. What's good for me? What's in it for me? How am I affected? How am I impacted? And what benefit do I get? We want what's best for us, very naturally. And it is a whole different exercise to want what's best for others. From the very beginning, however, God promised a deliverance. He promised a deliverer. Even in the midst of Adam and Eve's sin, the word of God was a word of grace. Yes, there were consequences for their sin, driven from the garden and the corruption of marriage. However, there was always hope. Hope that the offspring would come. And one of the main things we find in the offspring as God fulfills his promise to Adam and Eve is we find that he is not selfish. That instead, out of love, he genuinely puts all others first. Even as his back is put on a cross and his arms are stretched out as he is offered as the sacrifice, he unselfishly remains there, finally breathing his last and being put into the ground in order to win for us forgiveness for every single selfish act and deed. He voluntarily assumed the responsibility of all our sins, and he won for us the most important gift, forgiveness, in all of its consequences, especially salvation and life. Jesus demonstrated love for us that put our needs ahead of his own, all the way to the point of his death on the cross. As God's loved and now through Christ forgiven children, we approach marriage as the gift God intended it to be. And today in our reading, we're going to walk through this and see what God has to say about marriage and how we are to treat one another in it. But as I had Pastor Harvilla read ahead of time, there's context for this, because we want to hear that this flows in the instructions to all people. And so hear these words again. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. You see, it really isn't a surprise that there's trouble with marriage in our society because the days continue to be evil. We have gotten so used to, as Christians, we had gotten so used to at least a general overview of culture being similar to what God says in the Ten Commandments. But now we're walking in days very similar to what the Christians at Ephesus were walking, in which they were the minority, in which they were also then to be the example for the community around, for the culture around. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't get drunk with wine, that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in our name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Everything we are called to do as Christians is in the context of Christ's love and work on our behalf. And every single relationship that Christians express toward others, well, it's supposed to be an act of submission in which we are actually and honestly looking for the best for the other person. Not caring for ourselves, not putting our natural number one first, but in all of our relationships, putting the other first. And this is, God has a great intention and plan for this. As we willingly and mutually and joyfully submit to the needs of others and aid and assist and build them up, the whole thing is meant to be a big network of upbuilding, supporting, sustaining, encouraging, caring for one another. And then the Holy Spirit has Paul move into specific relationships, which brings us first and foremost to the core relationship on which all of society actually is built, because God built it into creation, that of marriage. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the Lord is the head of the wife, even the, excuse me, Archie Bunker's going through my head. We'll get to that in a minute. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church's body and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Well, you know why I want to provide context, right? Pastor Harold even said it when I gave him the little lead-in. He said, you don't want to start with the word wives submit? No. Why not? Because our culture has no ability to hear those words in anything other than a negative tone. Because again, our natural default is me first. Submitting to others? No. Only if I'm going to get something from it. We don't like the word submit. We want to do our own thing. Yet wives, does God really call you to submit to your husbands? Yes, absolutely. But what does submission mean? What example does God give to us right here to explain what it means to submit? Well, Christ is the head of the church. As Christians, he is our leader. He is our head. As Christians, do we submit to Christ? Absolutely. Do we look and trust in him to be our leader, to trust him to provide and care for us? Yes, absolutely. Is submission a bad thing? No. Submission means respect, to hold in a position of honor. We respect Christ. We turn to him. We trust in him. In the same way, wives are called to submit to their husbands, to trust in him, to let him take care of you. Is that an easy job? No. I remember I had an argument with a good friend of mine. She sort of like kept me at least somewhat grounded during seminary. Because you know, in seminary, you get all this heady stuff, and it's so easy to leave reality behind. And we got into a little discussion, and I said, I think men are called to a higher level of sacrifice than women. Yeah. As you well gathered, she totally disagreed with that position and argued very well on how they are at least equal in their calls for sacrifice. The wife is called to respect her husband. The temptation, of course, will always be there to put him down, to make negative comments about him to others, maybe to run him down in front of others, to point out all of his faults, that blockhead. But wives, you are forgiven people. You are called to submit, to respect your husband, to build him up. Not to complain about him to others, but instead speak your frustrations like right to him. Encourage him. Support him. Give him compliments. I remember one of the old videos, marriage pre-counseling marriage videos we had, the leader gave this broken down violin to this woman. And she sort of took it and like, no big deal. Then he said, this is a Stradivarius. And she went, oh. And he said, that's it exactly. Wives, go oh, to the gift called your husband. Respecting not for what you see, but for who he is. In Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands. Amen. Okay. I am glad that you chuckled at that. You know, a guy is never sure where he stands sometimes. Because that's not where our reading to the Ephesians ends, is it? See, and big problems really would start right here if we stopped right here. It would be like stepping right into the Archie Bunker show. You remember Archie and Edith, or excuse me, All in the Family? Archie and Edith Bunker. Archie being the stereotypical sexist male. Edith was required to submit to him because he was the man of the house, and that's it, no questions asked. He's a perfect example of taking these words out of context. Because God does have something to say to husbands. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Husbands, you are called to love your wife, and the standard that God gives you and me to live up to is Jesus. Just as Christ loves all Christians and has loved this world, husbands, you are to love your wives. Because Christ was willing to die for his bride, the church, that means, husbands, we are called to love our wives in such unconditional love that we will lay down our life for her. And that's not just jumping in front of a speeding car or something like that, but to daily put her needs above our own, to daily consider how we can love and support her more than loving and thinking about ourselves. We are to provide for our wives in both physical and material things, but also in emotional and in spiritual things. We are to take care of our wives, putting her above ourselves and our own sinful desires to be first, to do what we want. And husbands, you also are forgiven people, and as forgiven people, you are called to take care of your wife no matter the personal cost. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. We take care of our bodies. We clothe them. We feed them. We wear shoes to protect our feet. We get sleep to let our bodies rest and heal. We simply take care of our bodies. But we are also members of Christ's body. And specifically, husbands and wives are of one flesh. So husbands, you take care of your own body as you are called for. You are then taking care for your wife as well. Putting her and her needs first. Therefore, a man should leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This mystery is profound. And I'm saying it refers to Christ and the church. Marriage may sound like a lot of work. It may sound like a lot of sacrifice. And it is. But it is also a beautiful thing. God created marriage as a good gift of his creation. And in the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus, we have a beautiful mystery fulfilled, how God has even set up our marriages to reflect his relationship to us, to this world. That others might understand the love of God by looking at the love in a husband and wife in Christ. I've always loved this text because this is sort of like the Holy Spirit takes Paul on this excursus and sort of almost tangent. And then there's like this, okay, I don't want to get too far away in that profound mystery. And we come to the summary. However, let each one of you love his wife and himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is really what it all boils down to. Husbands agape-ing their wife. Loving their wife in a sacrificial manner, the exact same way Christ loved his church. A husband is to take care of her, provide for her needs, and wives are to submit and to respect their husband, to encourage and support him, build him up, let him take care of you. Marriage has always had its trouble. And in fact, these words of Paul, they're impossible for us to fulfill perfectly. I mean, really, how can a woman submit when she is miserable sinner? And how can a husband love like Christ has loved when he is a miserable sinner? How? Because it all goes back to the redemption of Christ. Our marriages are to be based in our baptism, where we received, as Paul wrote, this beautiful, magnificent cleansing of water and the Word. We are to live each day cleansed by the work of Christ, remembering that He has made us pure and holy without blemish and without spot. And we are to live for Christ first and foremost, because He is the one who saves us. He is the one who forgives and gives us life. And because we're living for Christ, then we also live for each other, putting each other's needs above our own, both in marriage, maybe especially in marriage, but also in all of our Christian relationships, that we might demonstrate to the world God's intention for His people. Amen. May the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, who is your Savior. Amen. Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.